Before we continue, one of the ways we keep all of our content for you, the listener, free of charge is our amazing sponsors, and today, Anchor is one of those sponsors. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. It's free, there's creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcasts right from your phone or computer. Anchor is going to distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and everywhere podcasts are listened to, and you can even make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to Anchor. FM to get started.
What's up, everybody? This is Bam Erickson with AfterBuzz TV for Power Season 6, Episode 5, titled King's Gambit. Rest in peace, Proctor.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
They say it's a big rich town.
Sorry to see you go, Proctor. I just come from the poorest
part.
Bright light, city life, I gotta make it. This is where still alive, still
alive. One time.
We're doing a little move for Proctor. One, two.
Come on.
Come through with the juicy lips.
Right.
Moisture.
Be properly hydrated for Proctor.
Properly. That's what
Proctor,
that is.
Though.
Shout out to Joe Proctor.
And the interesting thing, he didn't give us not one lick of a hint.
I felt like he did.
I felt like he kind of did, too.
I felt like he did. Okay. Like when we were talking, when I was talking crazy about the... Okay, so anyway.
What's up, everybody?
I'm Ben Merrickson. I want to introduce the panel. To my left, I have Jill Monroe.
Hey. We're going to miss you, Proctor.
To her left, I have Robin Ayers.
What up, what up?
And to her left, we got Jimmy B.
Jimmy B.
So, do we all agree that last night was the best episode of the season?
Yes. Yeah, hands down.
So, I mean, I may have talked...
With a few exceptions.
Yeah, I may have talked a lot of crap about episodes 1 to 3 and probably said something like it was... But... Power's back.
In Power, yes.
Ever since episode 4 when with Lindsay, I feel like it's back.
So, because remember the feeling that you used to get when you first started watching Power, like season 1, season 2, and we used to walk away from the screen like, what was that? That's how I felt with this episode. I was really glad to get that like feel, that essence. You know what I'm saying? That
real quick dive, what was so different?
I think the pacing is back. It doesn't feel as rushed, minus the one Tommy being Rambo. That was the most probably ridiculous thing. But besides, the flow of it, everything seemed to make sense. It didn't come off as rushed, and there was a buildup to the Proctor and the Lindsay story, and they've kind of that's kind of taken the front for these past couple episodes. And the way that it ended, like. Yeah, I like when Jerry Ferrer was here, I felt like he kind of warned us that he was not going to be there long for me. Did you guys feel that?
I didn't get that vibe. But
you didn't?
Then again, I wasn't here, so. You know.
true that. Facts.
I forgot.
That's a great point. I think that I kind of felt that something huge was going to happen with his character. I didn't know if it was going to be, you know, him ending up getting arrested, death, but I thought that there definitely was going to be a turning part coming up from our conversation. Mm-hmm.
So before we go into the specifics of Proctor dying, there is one character who seems to be the forefront of all of this and getting everybody killed. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about
Cooper Sacks for a second. Bring him out.
Detective Blanca Rodriguez seems to be the only logical one, and why all of this makes sense. I mean, she gave the breakdown to the autopsy. Yeah. Like, Ghost did not do it.
Mm-hmm. Safe to say she's smarter.
She's smart,
and she has no attachments.
Yeah.
She doesn't have any. That's it. She's not tainted.
And Cooper Sacks just thinks that it's Ghost. He doesn't want to hear it. He's making up all these stories. And then the crazy thing is when he goes to his boss,
Captain
Warner.
Jacob Warner. Why is he still working?
Dog, you read my mind. Yo, so I hopped on Google and I was like, what happens if you lie to your captain? Or, you know, what type of penalties do you get? And obviously, I didn't find much. Mm-hmm. But in the writing, I'm like, he's doing all this behind the department's back. He doesn't get a slap on the wrist.
Right.
You don't get a day off. Like,
and,
what?
And we can't even blame the fact that he's white. Like,
Well, okay, so, and I agree with you guys. Technically, I think Sacks would, you know, be out of this or would be fired if this were the real world. However, everybody else is.
it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Is new. Sax is the only one else holding it down. And so I feel like they almost have to hold on to him in order to get, you know, to their ultimate goal, because he's the only one standing. Mm-hmm.
And also, there is going to have to be a sacrificial lamb. So everybody else can back off, didn't know. Somebody is going to have to go down for all these things that continue to happen. So Warner, why put himself square in the bullseye when he has someone he can kick off?
Mm-hmm. And let's be real, okay, if we're going back to that same department, Greg was out of line, Angie, she had been out of line. Nobody was kicked off. Nobody was fired. And, you know, that's that they tried to pursue some things, but nothing ultimately happened. So Sax ain't no different.
So dirty game.
Do you think that Cooper wants to smash Blanca?
You going by that line, right?
What was that line?
He said, your perfume.
I sensed something probably episode one or two where I was like, maybe they, like, there was just a small, and you, just a small.
Cooper wants to smash everybody.
On a side note, she's got to be related to Rosie Perez. That voice, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Listen to her. The next time you, I'm like, stop talking like that. Anyway, that bothers me.
We should ask her when she comes.
Okay, well then, there you go. Mm-hmm.
I was just thinking, out of the whole task force, you know, Sax is the only one that hasn't been lucky in that area.
You want Sax to smash?
I mean, he might as well if you're working with the, you know.
I do not. I do not. I still recall that there are things in his file that we do not know about.
Yeah.
Leave them there.
That's
right. That is true.
So quickly before we move on, so Jacob Warner, he calls in Cooper for him not calling, for telling him about him calling off the FBI and arresting Ghost at Maria Suarez's apartment. So there was this whole ordeal because Jacob had got Maria Suarez to change her story, but then Maria Suarez was she already going to change her story because Ghost gave her the money?
They never further explained it.
We kind of don't know.
Okay. All right. So let's go into Proctor, Benny, Jacob Warner, Cooper. So Jacob questions Proctor for calling in the murder of his ex-wife. We go into this whole ordeal where Jacob and Cooper goes into the house,
which we questioned last or two episodes ago. We were like, well, how was he going to get the, you know, the thing? So obviously that was disappointing. What I was hoping, Cousin Benny was like peeping around the corner and was going to catch Sax. Right. That's what I was creeping hoping. I was like, yeah.
Because part of my issue with that scene is that Proctor, knowing everything, granted, he obviously didn't know there was a wiretap, but to let him kind of have free reign in their house, quick moment, seemed sort of out of character to me for who we know Joe Proctor to be, especially considering everything that was going on.
Actually, I felt like it was character because they do kind of punk him a lot. Angela, Cooper Sax, Mike Sandoval, they all punk him in some kind of way, and I don't know if it's because Joe Proctor knows he has a shady background, but they take jabs at him and he just kind of takes it. I felt like it was appropriate, but at what point, didn't he say something about pissing on the floor or something?
Oh, when they first walked in, but that was the captain, though. That's
right, and then I feel like almost Warner. His back was against the wall, because he would have had to leave Warner to go to Sax, leaving him about, you know,
he
but I agree
said
with you.
No, I mean, I just felt like I'm grieving. My thing was just like, but he has been very, at certain points, cut you off. I'm grieving, you're at my home, you're out of line, I answered your question, close the door.
Maybe I'm just being picky, but I just didn't like how the bag was just randomly there.
Like, where was it? Was that a hallway? Was it the bathroom? Just
laundry room, and it just happened to be there?
And then also, I could have swore that was at Lindsay's apartment where she would go upstairs, right?
No. It was this apartment. But she took it with her that one time. It was on the couch.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so with that being said, so Proctor, you know, he goes and he grabs a bag or whatever. Proctor gets the evidence, confronts him and says, you know, I have this evidence.
Cooper.
Yeah. He has evidence. He plays it to him and he says he will delete it. He will delete it if he does one thing, and that's tell him who actually, you know, murdered Angela. He goes to Benny. We'll talk about Benny later because I have some predictions for Benny. But the question is, are you surprised that he snitched?
No. I was upset.
I wasn't surprised at all. He's never messed with Tommy on a high level. He's always been scared of Tommy. So if it's Ghost going out or Tommy, he would rather get Tommy off the street because, as proved correctly, he probably could live with Ghost on the outside, even if he wanted to separate his connection.
Yeah, but I don't even think it was so much that. I think that's a part of it, you know. But I think at that moment, first of all, Proctor, he doesn't have, like, the balls. Like, kind of like what you were saying, babe. Yeah. He does get punked a little bit. And then, because he tried. You know, remember, Sax told him before. They had a meeting before. He didn't give it up then. He didn't give up the information. He went back to Benny, told him, this is what's going on. He's trying to, like, press me. But then they had that second meeting that was in his home, right? Mm-hmm. Well, at that moment, he was like, he knew what was up. He was like, I'm a rat. That would make me a rat. That's lower than low. Yeah. So he knew what was up. But the way that Sax positioned him, he said, it's either pretty much let me know what's up or your daughter. So it's like, if you're putting in that position, I think he was just grabbing for something. Like, let me just it is what it is.
He was completely desperate.
Yeah.
And the fact that...
And it was true.
Yeah.
And it was true. It wasn't like, let me just tell on Tommy so y'all can go get him and get him out the way.
Right.
It was really what it was.
The actual truth, yeah.
And I think that Proctor really feared that Lindsay would find out, which she did, because she was listening the whole time.
No. I had a problem with that.
Not Lindsay. Lindsay is
I'm sorry. I'm going to get it together. I'm sorry. Lisa Marie. I'm going to get it together.
Hey, it's Elisa Marie with an E. You saw
the daughter. The daughter. Right? Okay.
We're going to get into that as well.
You're right. Okay, just the daughter. Yeah. Okay, currently, let me just say this. I get so pissed off because Tommy did it with Holly at one point. This is probably season two. He was talking to Ghost, thinking that Holly was sleeping on the bed or something, and she, like, you know, that famous scene where they're sleeping on the side and their eyes open up or whatever. I hate when people do that. I'm like, and then he was getting all passionate with Benny talking about, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I just hated that scene. As you were.
So Cooper, I'm sorry. I'm going to get it together. So Joe Proctor tells Benny that he got rid of the laptop with the evidence for Bailey Markham.
Yes, but he didn't tell him about the memory card,
yes,
which now Elisa
has.
Marie has. So I was wondering why. Why do you guys think?
So
it's insurance.
Yeah, it's completely insurance. And what's going to happen is I think that now that Benny... Well, let's go into the episode. Let's go into the shootout.
Nobody's shooting anybody, pretty much. I mean, they missed, 98% of the time, besides Tommy?
I don't even... My problem is, Tommy, you know Proctor's a punk. It's just Proctor there. Why are you bringing, like, heavy artillery to take out Proctor? I know you don't like him, but that just seems foolish. Nobody lives below Ghosts. No bullet holes went through. Somebody else didn't die. It just... I liked the setup. Mm-hmm. I got what was going on, but I didn't understand why the big guns had to come out.
You know,
other than it was a great visual scene.
Very theatrical.
Me too. I noticed that this season that it's a lot more action. You saw Ghost in the shootout. So there's a lot more action scenes, and I don't know if this is because the network wants to amp it up and try and go out with the big bang. It doesn't fit with the flow of the past five seasons. So, yes, that is. But on the flip of that, I think that once Tommy found out that he snitched, I felt like it was just one of those side. You know how we talk about like Tommy's really crazy? It was just a moment where he was just really enjoying making Proctor suffer. You saw the smirk on his face. You saw that, you know, because Proctor is not a killer. So you see how he was shooting. Like, that was natural for him to shoot because he's never shot anybody. So Tommy was really enjoying the moment of, you're getting ready to die probably in like 15 seconds. But it was a bit extra for Tommy to go Rambo. But also, I think because it was also Ghost's apartment.
Oh,
that was part of his enthusiasm to shoot up. I felt that, but still, you are potentially a a federal case away, right. You know, being associated to all these different things. You've taken out a member of the cartel and all of these other things that are surrounding mm-hmm. it, and you're going to go into a building where, yeah, you went through the back door, but you know their camera. It just... Mm.
You know, you make a great point, Joe, because when you think of Tommy's other murders,
yeah, it was very discreet. He's very low key.
Discreet.
Even with Maria. Even with Maria, use the silencer, yeah. Pop one to the head, now, out of there.
Mm-hmm. Proctor, he wants everybody to know, which was another thing with that scene. If there's neighbors, what do you do when you first hear gunshots?
And he lives in a white neighborhood. So, like, right. Yeah. So we know that doesn't you that didn't make sense. But going moving forward with that, there was a lot of things. So, you know, with that, we saw that before he killed Maria, he was in the bedroom and he overheard Cooper, you know, giving the information. So then, what he also does is we also noticed that Charlie, the guy that was in the trunk who mm-hmm. Tupac killed, mm-hmm. was the guy who switched the water. So we saw that. So Tupac got to kill somebody.
Hey,
and that's that on that. I mean, yeah. I think you okay? Mm-hmm. Some water.
Mm-hmm. Water.
I might take.
Bam. Okay. Second time. Back.
Mm-hmm. Second time Tupac is killed. Remember, he killed the guy.
It's okay. Proctor's gone, baby.
Proctor's
it's okay.
gone. I'm it's sad.
Okay. Oh, I know. I know.
He killed the guy from, what was he from the temple? Remember, he was walking
down
the street.
Yes.
We know Tupac mm-hmm. is thirsty.
Yeah, I mean, but this one, it was just that scene, that's all it was for, was just for that little piece of information that located Proctor, and then fine, Tupac got to
Which
take out somebody,
whole,
but it didn't mean anything.
I'm in Tribeca. When was the last time you guys had a phone call, and you're like, oh, I'm over here in Burbank.
Right, yeah. I'm with my people.
Definitely.
But it didn't really make sense to even have Charlie in the picture because
Tommy knew
because Tasha already said that he was there, so why did he need reassurance?
Okay, go ahead.
I was gonna say Tommy calls Tariq to set that up, and then what happens is he finds out that Elisa Marie is there, and then he takes her out of the house.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
And the conversation that she had with her father for the last time
on the phone.
What did you guys think about that?
That was a great
scene.
That was really great, and I have to say that she mm-hmm. redeemed herself because that crying scene really did something
like
back for
crying
me.
Scene
yeah, I was like, come on, man.
I thought I was the only one.
No.
But she's a little girl, so. You know, I just let it slide. But that scene was very, very, very compelling, especially mm-hmm. for Proctor. And then there's some shots online, some stills where Proctor is shooting. And his facial expressions, I mean, he really, really, he did a great job with that entire thing.
No,
I have to say, Kwame MB said that Courtney Kemp said on the said that the writers were having Tommy do that, basically shooting up the whole thing to get rid of all the glamorous stuff that made Power, which is... really that's a nugget because I mean it makes sense, you know mm-hmm. what I mean, like I guess maybe that's a behind the scenes of the writer's mind, you know what I mean.
I took note of Proctor's last words, which he said, "This ain't over."
That's right.
Which
you know
I just related that exactly to mm-hmm. the chain
and Benny
of course, yeah.
So you know, I go back and forth with Ghost and Tommy Who Dies. Mm-hmm. So for me now, it feels like it makes no sense for Tommy to be able to get away. So you have Cooper Sacks, who knows that Tommy killed Angela. Then Benny knows that Tommy killed Proctor. There's a device with the baby Markham. Well,
he's gonna figure it out eventually. He knows it's Ghost or Tommy.
Yeah.
Okay. Proctor was staying with Ghost to be safe. He saw Tariq bring Elisa Marie.
Benny at some point has to go after
Wonderful.
Tommy. So Tommy either has to die or go to jail.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're always looking into things like this, like foreshadowing and just different things. But
my favorite word.
Yeah, me too. And the scene where Tasha and Tommy are in the car together and she said, this is not the time to kill Ghost. And he was, you know, that was established then. But then also when Tariq and Tommy were having a conversation and he said, are you trying to get my dad? When he told him to unlock the back and all of that. Mm-hmm. Are you trying to get my dad? He said, no, I'm not going to hurt your dad. You know what I mean? It kind of made me feel like that was it. Like, that was something that says, like, okay, you know, those two things pointing at the fact that Ghost is going to come out of this okay, or at least for right now.
For right now.
Yeah.
Any other thoughts on the Rambo scene? with Proctor. Nope. So now Gio.
Oh, last thing. Mm-hmm. I wish they hadn't killed him in Reyna's room. That's all. That's just a personal thing. I get the impact of it, but could have been a hallway.
A lot of dying guys. A lot of dying.
Yeah, that's a good point. Go ahead, Jill.
So Cooper forced Dre to tell him how Ghost found out about Maria Suarez. How did you guys feel about the line that Dre said to Cooper when he when they raised Heaven up from the car?
Can you even do that? I was watching this with my girl too. We both said it at the same time. What?
Just have the baby in the
this
car.
This is legal shit to the max. Thanks, I'm like, that's a baby.
I just, you know.
Man. That's real, yeah. I mean, what's going on here?
Robin, you said it earlier. They break so many rules, it's ridiculous.
He was like, this is like some master slave stuff. A good line.
Yeah.
So Proctor is pissed that Ghost went to see Maria and just threw the money at her. He says that she, he gave him all the information that Cooper gave him, and it's like, you need to take care of it. Of course, I start thinking about Angela's last words, because we know that there's a lot of reasons why Ghost needs to take care of it. And then he goes to Tommy, which, you did it to yourself, Proctor, because I know why you went to Tommy, and you're not wrong, but you're opening yourself up to more Tommy, and we saw how that worked out. Ghost picked up the envelope off of the floor. Bam had this question because his fingerprints were on it, and it's physical evidence that could tie him to the crime, even though he didn't do it. Mm-hmm. He's thinking of his political career, because you saw after his conversation with Ramona that we're going to talk about in a second, his mindset changed. Like, yo, I do need to go take out Maria. She's a loose end, and I got a future in politics.
But also, the reason that Proctor had to go to Tommy is because he was not sure if Ghost was. You know, Ghost has his newborn soul now. He's like, well, he said something like, you got it. You got the notes.
What happens happens or something.
I've got a changed soul, was that the words?
Or? Something, and she was innocent then, she's innocent now. So at this point, Proctor, again, in power, everyone is out for themselves. Proctor's out for himself, Tommy, Tasha, everybody's out for themselves. Mm-hmm. So with that being said, if he doesn't think that Ghost is going to kill Maria Suarez, he has to go to the next person. But also notice how Proctor always wants Ghost to kill somebody.
Well, he was calling the shots.
He understands the game. Two, we don't know in detail, I believe, that we will learn, but his family has some mob ties, some interesting things. Mm-hmm. I have a couple of theories that we'll talk about later about some of that, but it's not that he's new to this life. He's new to being involved. Mm-hmm. That's what I feel.
Yeah.
And,
you could say he's always looked on the outside in, and now he's actually in. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Is it important about the money, the envelope? Because, I'm not sure if it is or not. It may come up and it may not, but there's a correction. Someone, Tenebris and Kwame both said that he had the gloves on when he picked up the envelope.
He did, but he did not have the gloves on at Truth when he took the money out of the safe and put it in the envelope to begin with.
Okay. So that's why he took it, but then Tommy took the money.
Right.
Tommy took the money.
Right.
All right, so let's now go to Effie.
Effie, who let me down. I'm not going to lie.
Somebody said Effie.
Yeah. I told y'all something wasn't right with Effie.
So the show actually opens up with Tariq and Effie playing chess, which I thought was actually pretty brilliant.
It's how things worked out.
It established that Effie is the better chess player and that Tariq beats her. Sometimes Effie thinks she's won until Tariq beats her at the end. There was this dope quote that actually Bam wrote down. While I'm sacrificing my pawns, you're busy protecting yours. Playing defense makes you weak. Well, that specific line actually comes to bite him in the ass later on.
Can I just give a shameless plug? So Jill Monroe, she's a sports analyst, and Jill knows sports like nobody's business.
Yes, sir.
So Jill, can you talk to us about defense? What about Tariq and defense and offense?
Defense wins championships. But, however, yeah. I understood her point. But a good offense also offsets a weak defense. I think what Tariq got messed up with is that he didn't realize when Effie kept asking the questions that she did that it was more than just being curious or he was attracted to her, that she was prying for a reason. And he didn't. I think it was you, Robin, or was it you, Jimmy? One of you pointed out how quickly Effie switched from...
That was me.
Oh, no, was you?
I said she came. She went from black girl magic power queen to desperation. Yeah.
But, and that didn't set off any alarms for Tariq.
Yeah, but I think for you and for myself, I think it was a major alarm because the way she was... You remember when I was saying how I felt like Tariq, the way that he approached her, like I felt...
It wasn't game. Yeah, it wasn't G.
He didn't have the game, and I felt like, you know, she just played him.
She clearly did because she sends out the text to we don't know who yet. Mm-hmm. But it seems like the competition is running out of product. I'll keep an eye on him.
Who... Okay. Go hit it.
I have my thoughts. I either think, so remember, Effie lost a brother or like a brother to her a couple months ago. Uh-huh. There's two ways this could break down. Her godbrother or brother, or somehow she could be related to one of the guys that Tommy got popped. And that when he was trying to, who was he trying? Dre, when he was trying to have Dre killed. And remember, he went to Vincent's guys. Mm-hmm. And perhaps she's linked to Vincent and those guys. Or, like I said before, maybe she's related to somebody from the whole Ray Ray crime ring. And
right.
That. But somehow, that's it. I just think that she might be connected there.
And maybe this is for predictions, but I'm going to go ahead and say it now. What's old boy's name, the guy who's trying to punk Tasha for the money?
Zig.
Okay, and I don't know. I don't know if Zig is related to...
Effie?
No. Blue
Q?
Hair.
Epiphany. Epiphany. What a name, by the way, but yeah.
Yeah, no. they bring
I actually love that name.
Epiphany.
Yeah. And I don't know. So somehow, so something may, and I don't know if I'm confusing the two, but I feel like Epiphany's baby father, who she was talking about, who has some connections to clubs, gotten her blackballed from clubs, and she said that he would be out promoting. She was you work at Kinko's, blah, 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 blah. So I'm wondering if something about him being tied to, like, Ghost, you know what I'm saying? Like in the past or something like that. Maybe that is who the connect. I don't know, but maybe something in that realm. There.
Save that when we get to that topic. Yeah. Going back to the Effie thing. I remember you asked you, Jill. You said something like, you know, is she black? Is she Dominican? She possibly could be black and Italian. You never know. So she could have the ties to the Italian. I'm unsure, but I'm so glad that it wasn't as predictable as we. Thought it would be with the whole with the Tommy Tasha Ghost 2.0. Mm. I'm so glad.
The only question I have is that so Tariq was slinging baby pills, whatever. His roommate was the seller. That I mean, you know, it's Effie that dimed him out. But I wonder if Tariq is picking up on that because we saw him glance at the chessboard, before he left thing, yeah. Because his roommate isn't getting expelled. And he was doing some selling on his own as well.
The only reason why Tariq got caught because Effie was snitched on him for being inside of the classroom.
And see, and that's also, you have to be really careful about that because, you know, I'm assuming that it's a bunch of white people that go to school and it's a handful of blacks. So it made sense why Effie confronted Tariq in the first place and why she played him so smooth because, you know, everybody knows what's going on, so it was easy for Effie to figure out that Tariq was a drug dealer because the dumb roommate, the white boy, you know, to let the tail and run him out so much. So it was no secret that Tariq was selling the drugs.
Right. Okay, but y'all, are we missing something with the roommate? Are we missing the fact? Because we also said that he was asking a lot of questions,
He was, uh-huh.
So, I mean, and where is he right now?
I mean, that was
so
my
what
point.
I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, like, maybe it's not necessarily Effie tied to the Italian. Like, that's her family or background. Could be, maybe not. But maybe it's him. Maybe it's right in our face. Maybe he's directly connected and something we don't know. But I'm just saying maybe that'll unfold somehow. Because he's the one who initially got Effie in the first place.
Yeah. Did he?
He's
no,
the one.
No, he no, said no, 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 no.
He said Effie came to him.
Yeah.
Effie came to him to ask him, because she knew the roommate was selling pills, she would like hit him up like, what's going on?
Well, what I meant was not necessarily him recruiting her, but they talked. The roommate and Effie talked, is what I'm saying. So I don't, whoever came to whoever, I'm just saying, like, that's how she was brought into Tariq's in the first place, was through the roommate.
Really quickly, so once Tariq gets expelled and then he's back at the house, Tasha and Ghost, again, having an argument where they're blaming each other.
No, Ghost is blaming Tasha.
Straight up.
What else is new?
100.
But they're blaming each other. So my
Tasha, Tasha blamed them. As a unit, she said Tariq is who he is. He came from us.
But that's the most bullshit. Is and I haven't cursed all. Listen, I've gone the whole podcast. That's bullshit, because to say as a parent, that's just the way that Tariq is. So if Raina was tripping on the pole, would you just say, hey, that's just our daughter. That's just the way she is. I mean, come on.
I don't think that was how she meant it. I think she meant to deal with the fact that Tariq is not the sheltered child that we believed him to be. Mm-hmm. That right now who he is someone that has killed someone and is selling drugs and is in these streets. Mm-hmm. And you better deal with that, with who he is today, not who you thought he was yesterday.
Remember me a couple of episodes, I was talking about how the fact that the realization of who Tariq is needs to just be what it is. Yeah. And so I thought the realization was coming from Ghost initially, and maybe he'll come around to that. But clearly Tasha she's like, listen, this is who he is. Y'all, something about to unfold. It's about to pop off.
Oh,
a lot. It's about to pop off.
Robin,
it's
going
to
Rob.
Let's talk about... Okay, let's talk about that Tasha Lakeisha very uncomfortable scene in the mall. Damn, how the tables have turned, right?
But
something
why?
About them
they
tables
put
always
Tasha in
turn.
That bubble coat.
In that high school bubble coat that everybody got.
She needed to wear the bubble coat only because when she ran into what's his name with the expensive shoes and the jacket, like she works in a she works in a normal setting, so she just can't come all glamorous.
Who, Lakeisha?
Latasha.
She can't
dress the way that she does.
No. She was dressed better at the daycare than she was at that store.
Returning the clothes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And now maybe
and
that was her effect, but she didn't know she was going to run into Keisha. She was clearly embarrassed by that.
Yeah. Clearly.
Bad acting. We don't have to get into detail, but it irked me, everything about that scene. Is there anything important that we need to extract out of that?
I'm trying to find it. I had a question for you guys. Why didn't Tasha tell Lakeisha what happened to Holly? The absolute truth.
That's her loyalty to Tommy. Why would she do that? Tommy is her brother. Tommy could potentially, I know they're feuding, help her, with her money situation, everything. And she doesn't trust Lakeisha. Why would she arm her with that information?
And she warned her, basically saying, she gave her a small hint, basically saying, run, girl.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That was, I felt like that was all she did. That was all she needed. Quiet as kept, Tasha didn't really need to give her anything, because the way that she's been ghosting her, the way that she has, I don't feel like Tasha...
Lakeisha tried to play her.
Yeah, I don't feel like Tasha should have entertained the conversation. If you want to know, ask your man, bitch, and then move.
Indeed.
Okay. So, also, I don't think that Lakeisha is really eyes wide open. She doesn't realize that Tasha's the reason that Lakeisha's even in this position.
Preach.
Because Tasha's been the one kicking game to Ghost, but to Tommy and all of these different things. But if there's anything important that we need to extract out of there,
Wait, the favorite word? Foreshadowing. That's what I felt that was, again. Tasha telling her, girl, don't get in too deep with Tommy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Kate has told you the same thing, so...
Maybe Keisha will die.
Please.
Okay, let's talk about the important thing, because this might come up pretty big, or it will come up pretty big. Oh. Zig, who is the new dude who approached Tasha at her Tomorrow's Tots.
Once again, extortion.
Yes, it says Zig wants $4K a month?
Yes.
$4K a month. So he wants $1,000 a week. Who do you think you are? right? Like,
okay, so a lot of people are upset with Tasha for doing this, but I felt like it was a smart move for Tasha to do this. Okay, so let's take the Ziggy dude. Ziggy dude is what you call a two-bit hustler. Like, he showed up with no gang. He has nothing. He just comes up to her just basically saying, you know, you're going to pay me this money because I'm going to protect the community. Tasha was like, yeah, I'll take my chances. You know why she said that? Because she can game recognize game. She know this dude's a clown, and she has Ghost, who is the best goddamn drug dealer in the world. So if she really needed to off him, she can. But what she did instead was she was like, yeah, I'm about to use this Negro. So
because she needs money.
Because she needs money. So I felt it was... Listen, you know, I can always have a reason to drag Tasha. Uh-huh. I don't have a reason to drag her this week.
Well, then I'm just thinking, so if that is it, then why this show... Tasha going to Tommy saying, I need money.
That was before. Yeah. That's why she decided to approach this. Instead of just getting dude knocked off or moved out of the way, mm-hmm. she's like, I need money. I need money on my own. I can't depend on Ghost. I can't depend on Tommy because he's caught up. So now I got somebody else. Nobody knows this business like I do, and I know how to make it work.
And remember, everybody's for themselves. Right. Tasha's herself. Yeah. So what did she do? Epiphany, oh God, please don't ever show.
Well, let me step in real quick. I don't think she could have gone to Ghost to say, this dude is pressing me. It's not that kind of party no more.
But at some point, if she's in danger, Ghost will take her out. Ghost will kill the dude. I feel like if it was to the point where her life was in danger, I feel like as a man, I feel like...
I'm not sure, but okay. I know that she went to Epiphany instead.
Yeah.
She went to Epiphany to get that information about Zig.
I think she also...
Which was a smart move.
Which I think she twofold. Once she got that, she went back to Epiphany because Epiphany's a stripper. She's in the club. Mm-hmm. She's not going to physically sell the product, but she needs somebody who will that needs some cash. Just like she worked Lakeisha, she knows how to work these types in the hood.
Because,
that was with the appeal.
Tasha could be a pimp.
Hmm? Yeah.
Mm. She kind of is, and she's in all ways. I mean, just like she told Ghost, you keep effing her until I say
I'm cold on these hoes.
Yeah, I mean, the whole nine. So, anyway, you do not like Epiphany.
It's just such an embarrassment to...
I hear what you're saying, but isn't that a reality though? Like,
it is a reality, but do we need to see it on TV again?
Well, to push the plot, we do, because how else was Tasha going to link up? I mean, it could have been in the hair shop, but how else was Tasha going to link up with a struggling baby's mama stripper?
Yes, I understand that, but I don't need to see her in four more episodes. Give her one more episode and that's it.
Okay, so if we have people like this, and you don't think that all of these dudes who are strapped and killing dudes and selling drugs and all of that stuff is kind of the same thing?
It's a little bit different.
Is it? Is
it? I think it's the same.
It's kind of the same. Furthermore. I mean,
well, we only have 11 minutes.
That's true. So you know, let's move on and we can discuss that.
Left?
Yeah, I know we went
by fast.
Yeah.
All right,
let's go ahead.
Okay, yeah, let's roll.
So Tate, Ramona, James. So James removes himself from Tate's campaign. He can't shake his past. Ramona says Tate numbers went up after the press conference where James spoke after the heckler put him on blast. What's your thoughts on Tate and Ramona and Ghost or James St. Patrick?
I'm just waiting for James and Ramona to smash. Y'all go ahead.
I mean, I told you guys.
My sentiments exactly.
I told you guys a couple weeks ago, I thought that, you know, the path is clear that James is going to politics. We're going to see former dope dealer on the run. Why not? Joe Kennedy was a bootlegger. Why can't we have a former dope dealer that's done good be in office? For whatever reason, Ramona doesn't like Tate. She's attracted to James. So she wants to get back in if she can get Tate elected. But she knows she can make some things happen with James as well as soothe her personal needs.
But there's a reason. But there's a reason why she doesn't like Tate. This season, Tate has been revealing himself to be just a sorry dude. Like, he does not have
the backbone he thought he had.
beating up his assistants. Like, he's another two-bit hustler who has graduated to whatever the next level would be. But
that's your word for today.
Shout out to Francis.
Oh, God. Oh, you feel some type of way.
Just that whole shootout scene was just, it was pointless.
Unnecessary.
It was unnecessary. But
Which shootout?
We could have skipped that.
We could have skipped it, but, you know, he got his moment. Congratulations. But but going back to Ramona, she knows that Rashad Tate is weak, and just the way that he's acting, and just the way that he's almost like a kid not being able to get his way when she revealed about the press conference. And so, okay, so I believe Tate dies next week. Because you remember they're gonna have a fundraiser, an upcoming fundraiser at
the club.
At Club Truth. So
I'm gonna pull up.
This is where I believe that Tate dies, because it would make sense based off of what I told you guys before. And although another politician was mentioned and the person who's the moderator, we don't know these people. We don't care.
Right.
It should not be a big deal. So if there's going to be a death at Club Truth, it has to be Tate, or unless it's the heckler who was heckling.
Maybe James finds out that he's trying to be.
James has bigger issues. 24 hours to get 2 million.
So fast forward. Let's go.
We didn't even get into that.
Oh shit!
We kind of because the notes kind of got screwed. Okay. But you
So wait,
Vincent. Shows up. Followed Tariq to drop off Elisa Marie, and rolls up and snatches up Tariq like, we got a problem. Now, my curiosity is, how did he know so fast that the supply was cut?
In this game for a very long time, Vincent has. But also, what made Tariq think that he could get away with this? Like, did he have some sort of backup plan? Because that was just the most idiotic thing I've ever seen.
I don't, but I also, you know, Tariq is 15, 16 years old. You know, he knows a lot, but he doesn't know it all. And so he did what he thought he can do to get by.
But the thing is, he mixed them, right?
He didn't mix them.
He mixed them.
So that's why I'm kind of like, that was a quick turnaround.
But also, the reason that they know that was because the aspirin had the split in the center and the other ones didn't. It was easy to tell. Like, drug dealers know their product.
True.
That reminded me of, like, marijuana and,
What?
Oregano.
We're missing it.
Jeez.
What are we missing?
We're missing the point.
What are we missing?
Okay, it's my prediction. Okay. Go ahead, y'all. Sorry, I'll save it. It's my prediction.
I wonder if Tariq was setting Ghost up, because, you know, Tariq has such these blank expressions. In the last scene where they panned the long shot where Tariq is with the other guy, and Tariq, you know, Tariq has
looking calm as well.
This is Tariq. Hold on.
But here's the thing. He's not just setting Ghost. The thing that made me question it, because I did feel like Tariq was a little involved, but he's setting Tommy up too. And they seem to have some sort
of
connection. And the fact that Vincent was like, both of you, 24 hours, 2 million with tax, I do think that there's something, some manipulation there, but.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm bursting to say this.
Go ahead.
Hit it. Go ahead.
Tariq told Ghost and told us, he said, I'm just like you. If we know Ghost, James, and Mr. St. Patrick, all the same person. Nah, I ain't gonna break it. So when I make this point, but if we know who he is, we know that he is the manipulator of all things. He is the master of finesse.
And
it was talking about foreshadowing. He looked at that chess game. He knew that Effie was playing him. Y'all, this is Ghost 2.0, concocting this whole situation. And so, yes, that was the setup. It was like, okay, when I said, did he have a game plan? Did he have something next? Because that was just a dumb move to think that you won't get caught. He probably knew he was going to get caught. He probably said, okay, let me temporarily get this done. And then came up with this entire plan to get the money or to get Tommy and Ghost.
But why involve Tommy? Because now Ghost and Tommy have to
come together to save the day.
Yeah, Tommy told him, I'm not going to hurt your dad. But now Tommy also knows that Tariq is pushing weight. So why not get him involved? If he didn't know nothing, that would make more sense. But now he knows what's up.
I don't.
You gonna see? See. Yeah. I'm not
y'all,
sure.
I could. Like,
oh, Robbie, Robbie, you got me there, Robbie. You
y'all
got
don't
me.
See it. Y'all don't
y'all
see it.
Y'all got to see what's not there. I duly noted. I'm gonna be looking
please
for that.
Do. Please do.
And last thing before we go into predictions, does
we
anyone have
did our prediction? Oh,
yeah. Okay. Well, does,
well,
anyone,
Robbie,
does,
my
any, does anyone have anything to say about Ghost and Dre? So Dre wants Ghost to recommend him to be the new distro.
We talked about that.
Hanging out. That's all.
Why are they hanging out like nothing ain't ever happened? Like they right. weren't trying to cap each other off.
Because
like,
they both are trying to use each other, but now we don't know what's going to happen because Proctor was the middleman for all that and kind of guiding.
Yeah.
And
didn't we think that, because Ghost's plan is super cool, didn't we think that he saw Dre set him up?
Yeah.
Right, and now he's acting all cool, but maybe he's got something up his sleeve.
Side note, Bam was wrong. Bam said Dre would be dead about three episodes ago.
I did say that he was, you're right, and I was very wrong about that.
I was like, thank you for calling that.
You didn't want to talk to me after the show.
And by the way, Jill is looking. You know, I'm looking at the people up in the chat room. I want to say what's up to you guys. But Jill, you're looking mighty lovely with the lights,
with the backdrop.
Shine, Jill. This is your moment, girl.
Well, let me get my prediction off.
Go ahead.
But before we do that, let's show the top.
Oh,
moment.
That's right.
Yeah. So top moment, top AfterBuzz moment for this episode. Hit it.
Oh, look at you guys. That good. What is this, GS?
That's DRS.
DRS.
Yes.
Gangsta Lane.
Background dancing over here.
It seems like yesterday we were hanging round the hood.
Yeah.
Sing it for the kingdom.
No more, you
look
can't
at the church
go
hand.
No, no.
Oh, we got the homie in the building.
So,
Lord, no.
So that was that was Vinicius Machado who played Nomar. Nomar was the pervert who was sleeping.
Yes, if you guys remember that.
He was sleeping with his daughter, Ramos's 13-year-old daughter.
Yeah,
disgusting.
Yeah. And that song was actually because of his burial, wasn't it? He got killed. And so we opened up the show with that. That was actually very nice. Yeah. But I know you're doing that now
I feel like Proctor was, you know, I feel like he was gangster. You know, he had gangster lean moments. So we chose that clip in honor of Joe Proctor. Rest in peace.
So shout out to Joe Proctor. Well,
shout out to Jerry.
He played that. I mean, he's getting so much more love than anybody else I've seen who's passed on the show.
I was sad to see him go. Like I watched it around like midnight, and I'm like, I knew I wasn't going to text you, but I texted him. He's like, yo, have you seen it? You know, nobody hadn't seen it yet.
Were you getting like a little emotional?
I felt like in previous seasons when I would watch Power and after it ends, I have to like call somebody or text me like, did you see it? So
RIP.
Predictions. Any more predictions?
Like I said, we haven't seen the last of Effie. Mm. She's going to show back up with a crew.
And it's crazy, too, because 50 was on the Breakfast Club, and he even alluded to Effie, Reek, and the white boy doing the sequel thing. So all this is going on, was
doesn't
50
mean that
just
they're
doing
not.
It?
No, it doesn't mean that they're not.
And it could be just
could
in
be
a different
a
role.
Cut.
Yeah, it could be a different role than what we initially thought. My prediction is, as you guys know, that I think this is Tariq, all his doing, you know, I think he's got everybody right where he wants in this game of chess. And then I also do think that we're going to see more of Zig and how Epiphany's baby father comes into play. I think that's going to be something there.
And you also have the Q, but I also feel like it's too much between Q, Epiphany, and Zig.
Whatever happened to Q this episode?
Q will be back on episode. He'll be back on episode 9, and he'll be joining us for that episode. So his name is Tyrone Marshall Brown. Is his name?
Special guest award.
Yes. Well, also, you guys, as always, Our chat room is litty lit. You guys be holding it down. Shout out to you, Derek Black and Sonia Bethe and Kwame and Kenny and Leela, Lili. That's some girl right there. Bex G. So many of you guys. Thank you. We weren't able to get to all of your comments. Somebody said, nah, Robin. Girl, with Linda, what's up? What's up? What you got to say? Linda, hit me on the DM. She said, nah, so she don't agree with something I said. But anyway, thank you guys. Shout out to you guys. Send us your tweets. Send us anything that you guys want to get involved. You know what? We're also going to do some more special. We have more special guests coming up. We have some special things that we're going to do. We're going to be allowing some people to Skype with us, right? Yeah. So you know what? We have some really great things involved. So follow us. Make sure you follow us on
Power Plug.
Power After
Power
Plug.
After Plug.
Power After Plug on Instagram.
Jimmy,
it's
a lot. Did you give a prediction?
No, I'm fine.
Okay. Jill?
Well, I sent my predictions about Effie. We ready to wrap?
Yeah, so we are ready to wrap. So we want to thank you guys for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV for Season 6, Episode 5, titled King's Gambit. Remember, next week, the character who plays Jason Mystic joins us. His name is Mike DuPod. He will be in the AfterBuzz studio. And we also have another surprise for you guys next week, so make sure that you guys tune in. Thank you guys so much for tuning in to us weekly, and we will see you guys next week.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.